Pickaxe.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
This is Pitch Please, the show where people who play games pitch ideas to people who make them. This week...
I think that's what kids really like in entertainment, is like the promise that something amazing is going to happen and then they don't get to see it.
Welcome to Pitch Please. My name's Alex and I'm joined by Chris, developer Chris from Foggy Box.
Hello.
Hi. I'm also joined by developer James from Catastrophic Overload.
Hello.
I'm thricely joined by Thomas, thricely, the Think Tank Engine.
Oh, hi.
Hello. And also with us is regular podcast transient Matthew Castle.
Hello.
How's everyone doing? Are you ready to hear some pitches, some games and stuff?
So ready.
I'm great as well. Thanks for asking.
I wasn't.
All right. So anyway... The way this is going to work, the way this always works, is one of us is going to pitch an idea for a game,
mm-hmm.
and then we're all going to come together and figure out make it work.
Oh, yeah, make
destroy
it work.
It. Yeah. One of those things. By the end of this, we'll have done one of those two things. And Tom, what idea is it today?
It's a me idea.
What's going on?
I'm back, baby.
It's a Tom idea.
I'm back.
Wow,
I'm open wide.
Wow.
Climb on in. Get inside my pitch hole.
I'm
it's
so
dank,
excited.
It's moist, it's dirty, it's horrible. You don't want to be in there, but you're coming in anyway. Get in. Come on. Welcome. I just hit my hand on something. That hurt. Ow. come on in, because it's a Tim Tom special. And today I deliver unto you Mysteries of the Sea. I've got it written down. Mysteries
of
the Sea.
It?
Well, I kind of pre-name all of my pitches, and I'm hoping that it changes, because Mysteries of the Sea, bad name. But it's an Obra Dinn meets Pokemon Snap in a seafaring mystery exploration game as you explore the moments leading up to disaster to uncover hints and clues that lead to the true demise of the ship and its crew. There you go. That's the elevator pitch. What
You've
do you
already
think?
Written like the Steam blurb for it. That
that's
sounds
a, well. That's
fantastic.
The elevator pitch. We're in the elevator. Ding dong, floor 5, please. Where are you going, Chris?
Oh, I don't know. Where am I?
In an elevator.
Simon.
Oh, I'm heading up to floor 5. It is the top floor in this building. There is a basement.
Should we explain what Obra Dinn is first, just for anyone who
no,
hasn't
No, I'd like to go
this.
On to this extended elevator roleplay, please.
Hi, Tom. What floor are you going to? Oh, that'd be good. On the way, can you explain what Obra Dinn is? There you go.
Okay, sure. Well, Obra Dinn is a game by... Lucas Pope. And it's a game where you can explore the moments when individual members of the crew of this ship in the 1800s, the moments when they died. And in that, you can look around and pick up a load of information, move on to other bodies in the scene, and basically try and discover, you want to discover who they are in the crew and how they died. That's the point. So in some of the moments of death, it's very obvious. They were shot in the face by a fucking gun, or they were hit over the head by a big kraken tentacle thing. It's pretty obvious, but you still need to discover who they are. And as you go through the game, you... put names to all of these faces and voices and causes of death, and it unlocks more of the game as you go, and you basically discover the true fate of the ship Obra Dinn, and it's incredible.
And the music is
incredible. Pokemon Snap, however, is a delightful, lovely little game where you go on rails, photographic exploration journey, and take pictures of all your favorite Pokemon. Is that a Piplup? Wow, my favorite. Is that a Bidoof? Look at him. He's making a dam. How cute. And you take pictures of him. And you also bombard him with apples to make him do your bidding. and take the best pictures. That's Pokemon Snap.
And your idea is a combination of these, an on-rails Obra Dinn,
an
essentially.
On-rails Obra Dinn. I do have a little bit more written, by the way, but I just thought, there it is. It's a seafaring mystery exploration game. Maybe it's on rails, where you are just exploring the moments that lead up to the demise of this particular ship. Maybe there's multiple ships and they're all different levels. And you discover phenomena out in the sea, weird happenings. What's that over there? It looks weird. I'll take a picture of it and add it to my list of evidence to finally come up with what happened to this ship and its crew.
So the ship itself is on rails. You're not, just to be clear.
I mean, maybe you are. Maybe you're just in like the crow's nest or something. And the ship is just doing its little journey and you just spot things as you're looking around. Like, I don't know, why is there such a clump of birds over there? Let me take a picture of it. Maybe that's a thing. I don't know. What do you think of the opening pitch? Boom. Elevator pitch.
Saying Obra Dinn has gotten me excited, so that's pretty easy.
You have turned your camera off after I said Obra Dinn, and I can hear some sort of slapping noise.
I can't see how this is massively different from Obra Dinn.
That's what I was going to say. It's even set on a boat.
Because you've said Pokemon Snap, I don't really get what like, you're pitching an Obra Dinn where your interaction with the crime scenes is just you're taking lots of photos. That's what I'm sort of picturing. Is that right?
Kind of. So in my head, I'm imagining that you don't necessarily see the disaster itself. You see the events leading up to it, the things that boil up towards what could have been the event, right? So you don't necessarily see the Kraken, but you see water swirls in the ocean, or you see, I don't know, if you look in a particular place at a particular time, you see, I don't know, a fucking tentacle slap up or something. You see snippets of these events in the lead up to it. Maybe you've got like this list of a load of different seafaring disasters and you're like, okay, well, in the lead up to this, they saw sparkling lights in the ocean, which is a phenomenon. Maybe they saw St. Elmo's fire, which is cool, and I want to explain what that is.
It's a song.
It's a great song. It's also... so.
Is that the theme tune to this game?
It's a theme tune to this game. But St. Elmo's fire is where, like, the mastheads and the ends of all of the poles and things spark up in these weird, like, blue fire. And it is in the lead up to a lightning strike. So if you see that, you can be like, okay, maybe lightning's involved in this event. And it's just taking pictures of strange happenings out in the sea. It's in the 1800s. Why not? When no one really knows what these things are. Maybe you see a fucking ball lightning. Do you remember when we were looking at those, Alex? Ball lightning is cool.
Yeah.
This checklist angle sounds a bit like that ghost hunting game.
I have written phasmophobia ? Watch moments leading up to nautical disasters, but not the event itself. Collate evidence and associate it with what led to the ship's demise. That's written here. But there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of weird phenomena out there from seafaring expeditions, and maybe you can find some of those. And then that leads into what happened to this ship in this level. And then you move over to another level.
I have so many thoughts about this. Like, okay, you as the protagonist, are you like a time traveler? Are you like a spirit? Do you inhabit someone that was on the ship to start? Who are you?
John Parr, the singer of St. Elmo's Fire, time detective.
Like, yeah. Time detective sounds cool, right?
Sure, you're a time detective.
But so, because you can't be there when the incident occurs, right? Otherwise...
I think you are a detective with a unusual power to read the diaries and transcripts of the events of the ship, and you are immediately sucked into the scene, and you are like, I'm in.
Obra Dinn literally just uses, like, you've got a magical
death watch thing.
That's for, yeah.
Memento Mori,
It could be like, this is the far-flung future, and we've managed to advance technology to the point where you can look at these old cases and then computers will enact the scene for you based on the data they have, and you're going into it in the holodeck.
It's Abstergo, and you've got the DNA of the ship's crew.
Right. Okay. Bam. That's it. Okay.
This is an Assassin's Creed game.
Oh. This is an Assassin's Creed story, which is the spin-off campus series.
So the other thought that I have is, in
Pokemon Snap, you've got the berries and things to sort of make Pokemon do certain actions to try and get the best picture. Is there something comparable in this? Are you actually doing stuff that causes the disaster to happen? Are you like, I'm going to turn the ship to the left because I can see that there's a lightning storm over there?
I think
the idea that the Titanic went down because some idiot was throwing berries at the captain.
You're the paradox, right? Maybe you have to go, like the disaster has to happen. It's like in Doctor Who, there's like fixed points in time or something, and you've got to make them happen. So you've got to go back in time and be like, right, for some reason, the Titanic didn't crash. So let's make it crash, and you've got to do all these. Like, it's probably going to break you.
So you're not a ship detective. You're not a time detective. You're a time traveling saboteur.
Yeah, maybe that's a bit far removed from what you're talking about.
Plot to Loki. Are you just resetting the timelines?
Yeah. Oh, I have. Yeah, maybe that's on my mind.
If what you have is okay, like we have a ship here from the 17th century, 18th century, whatever. We know what happened to it. This is the wreck. Say, for example, you can walk around the ship as a ghost or whatever, while the ship is on its course, and you can affect different things to figure out, okay, how does the ship end up in this situation? Basically, I'm thinking almost like a chaos theory style thing, where you're trying to make these little ripples happen to figure out how the ship ended up as it did.
So essentially, it's a detective game where you have to solve the murder to then do the murder, right? How did this person die? I need to make sure this person dies that way.
You have to do the murder to solve the murder.
I think this has gone off the rails a bit.
I thought it was on rails.
It was.
You've been waiting for that one.
I kind of like the idea. Again, it's slightly maybe too close to what the Obra Dinn's about. Because in Obra Dinn, you're like an insurance guy who's on the ship to basically work out why everyone's died so that they can do a big insurance claim. But there might be something in the idea of you take a tour of a you know, in the moments leading up to a disaster, and it's your job to work out like whether it was a act of God or, you know, the doings of people in some way.
Yeah. So what I like about
it could be kind of interesting, but it is very Obra Dinn.
Well, yeah. So I think my angle for this, by the way, was more a focus on just uncovering, discovering seafaring phenomenons of various different kinds, like, you know, I don't know, whirlpools in the ocean or St. Elmo's fire or ball lightning or all these just weird shit that people saw in their initial expeditions,
stuff that
right?
is actually real, but that they kind of ascribed it to, like, you know, like supernatural happenings because they didn't understand it at the time.
Yeah,
or do you mean things like actually like krakens?
I mean, maybe like there are, you know, stories from people apparently for like 30 minutes straight, people were watching a huge, like 100-meter long sea serpent in the ocean. And that's a story that some expedition brought back with them. So maybe you are just in the lead up to these events. Maybe the sea serpent took this ship down or whatever the fuck, I don't know. But you're just watching this thing. And the angle I had was watching these beautiful and amazing seafaring phenomenons happen and you know, all the things that lead up to them. There's hundreds and thousands of them, maybe not 1,000, maybe like 50, but still just finding these things.
While twatting people in the head with apples.
While twatting people, yeah.
But, and eventually getting destroyed by that phenomenon, I see.
Yes, but what I love about Obra Dinn is that the story of the game that you are uncovering is set in stone, and it's filled with all these characters that are all doing their set route, and it's unchangeable. Like, that has happened, and you're watching the captain do this thing, this thing, this thing, and this thing, and you put together their stories as you explore it, and that's super cool. So I don't think necessarily adjusting what happened to the situation to save them or make it happen.
Okay.
I don't know. Anyway.
Like Outer Wilds as well, right? That kind of thing. Stuff is just happening. You're
just exploring the history kind of that universe.
Rails, right? I guess so.
Outer Wilds, Chris, on sorry. Rails.
No.
No, it's not. Not
the opposite.
Well, okay, well, no, but I mean, but it's like it's the same. There's something happening.
It's got a clock.
The universe has
a clockwork routine.
Yeah,
I really like routine games. I like any games where
the puzzle, the mechanic is about like interrupting or exploiting the knowledge you have of the way people are going to behave. So if there's an element to this where you're constant, like you're replaying the same thing over and over, I'm quite into that. One thing I did want to flag about the phenomenon, most of the stuff you've described happens in the water or in the sky, which means a lot of this is just looking over the side of a boat, which is a little bit boring.
Well, St. Omer's fire happens on the masthead, actually.
Yeah, but that's one thing. And we're talking about a lot of deck
action.
All
lightning can appear inside the ship. And
does it?
It can do.
Yeah, you're right, actually. Yeah,
me and
we
Alex
read an account.
After I was finding out about St. Omer's fire, it said that it's not to be confused with ball lightning. However, ball lightning, there are some crazy stories and accounts of this thing, like these just massive balls of lightning that moved into a church and just fucking blew it up. And hundreds of people saw this thing and no one knows what it is.
I was going to try and lean into more of the Pokemon Snap idea, and it's a bit with what Matt just said, just where maybe as if we're going down the whole you can go back in time kind of route, that's your character as their narrative. Maybe you get like, you know, X number of cycles and you go through the same route every time and you try and uncover something new every time. Like you're doing Pokemon Snap, you're like, oh,
yes,
I know that the Vulpix is going to run across here, then I'll get that next time. So doing that and having a fixed number of cycles to then piece together clues at the end to be like, okay, this is what happened. And
maybe,
you know, seeing the cause and effect of things.
I got it. Maybe when you first initially jump into it, you're in, say, the captain's viewpoint of the situation. So you are basically, maybe it is an on-rails thing where the ship is on its course and you are just viewing this thing from the captain's perspective. You have some sort of limited range where you can look around or whatever. And you put together the account of what the captain saw in the event. And then when you complete that and you've put it all together, you then move over, you then go through it and you look, think, okay, that dude is running from something. I saw him running from something in the background. Maybe I'll see his perspective on it. And then once you unlock him, you can then see what he was running from. You put together his story and take extra pictures or gather the evidence. Maybe it's not a picture taking game at this point, but putting together their story.
This is beginning to sound a bit like the
Return
brain
of the
dances in Cyberpunk.
Ooh, oh yes,
yeah, that's a good point.
Where you're
I
body hopping to see things from different people's perspective,
how does that work, sir?
They're like VR recreations of crimes, which are recorded by you know, a person who is in the room. It's their like first person experience of it. But you can, am I right thinking? I think you can hop into like security cameras that you spot to get like new perspectives on the action. It like records all the data from any electronic device as well. So it's kind of the perspective of the witness and, you know, other things that you discover as they're kind of playing out that scenario.
And you can hop into different channels, like audio boosted channels, like pure video, and then like a weird IR one. Or electronic signals where you can see, like, okay, like someone's phone buzzed, but I can see that in this channel, which I couldn't see in the, you know, just camera view because I couldn't see that vibration.
However,
it could be interesting.
The brain dance thing was something that a lot of people said that was really cool about Cyberpunk, but was very, very easy and very, very rarely used. Let's exploit that, baby. We're exploiting CD Projekt Red. No one else has yet.
What if we went down this brain dance route, but there were parts of the ship that were only accessible if you had enough, if you'd pieced enough clues together. So it's almost like you can still have the rails, but you're choosing a different path to take. You unlock another rail to follow, but you can only do that if you say, oh, I noticed that person going through that door at 11 o'clock. So I'll be sure I'm there at 11 o'clock and I can follow them down that path. Something like that. I think there might be, you could uncover the fog of war around this boat and to try and find out more of what's going on.
If your like narrative framing was you're in the future and there's like a big trial, so you're in the courtroom. I know I come back to trials a lot, but it's a great framing device, so stick with me.
That's true.
The idea is you've gone back into like there's someone who it's like agreed you can hop back into their body and you have to like prove the kind of the legal relevance of being able to hop into another person's body, because it's like invading their their historical privacy. And it's
what if we uncovered their DNA and we went like used a machine, I think it's called the Animus, and we just went back in time and uncovered like what happened in their past, maybe something like that. I don't know.
I'm fully sold on John Parr Time Attorney, where he has to solve maritime crimes, and then one of them is going to be, and obviously the theme tune is St. Elmo's Fire, but I like the idea of the whole Time Attorney, and obviously it's set in the castle verse at this point.
Oh my god, can we in one episode get, have you seen the Legal Eagle on YouTube? He keeps coming up in my recommended. He's just this lawyer on YouTube that reacts to like attorney episode. He did like a what's it called? Better Call Saul episode. Can we just get Legal Eagle on one episode for a Matt Castle pitch? And he just he just talks about all the incorrect ideas that we have about the court system.
What, that you can fire a live machine gun in a court, and the stenographer has to write down the sound of the gunshots.
Exactly.
He's going to tear the Castle universe to shreds.
He is. It's going to be ruined.
It's just to shake up the franchise needed.
I feel like if we can, we should try and stick with your initial idea of like the core of it you liked is like the really amazing idea of like these weird events that people just didn't understand back in those days. And like, I think capturing them in photography is a really cool way of doing it, as a player, like experiencing that moment as well.
Yeah. I think I added ship disasters and the lead up to the event, both as a nice little framing device, a reason to play the game and uncover the mysteries of it. But there is a part of me that I just kind of like it as just a chill, let's just sit on a boat and watch weird shit happen for a while. but again, that's boring. This is Pitch Please. They also are sailing into the eye of the storm.
Does it have to be like, say it's maybe like you're not trying to figure out how this ship crashed or what happened to it. Like, could it just be that you are basically reliving, like, I don't know, you play Alfred Potts. Is that, that's the name of someone. I don't know. Like, Mr. Potts is
sorry, who's
swab,
Alfred? He's
the deck swab on,
is that a real
on
person?
A ship.
You said that name with such confidence, like we should know it.
I said it, I was like, I'm going to make up a name now. And as it came out of my mouth, I was like, I think that person exists and is a character in something, but let's just say he's not. Alfred Potts is the deckhand on the HMS Hazel, and you go in and you play as him. It's an on rails thing. It's there. It's the final hour of leading up to this event, leading up to the Saint out the everyone witnessing Saint Elmo's fire, and you are just experiencing that moment and like that little bubble of what's happening to the crew at that point.
It's maybe it's just instead of having one level be, wow, look at that, the mastheads, it looks like it's on fire. Nope, it's lightning. Maybe this is a particular expedition in which just thousands of these things happened. It's not a real one necessarily. It's just there's St. Elmo's fire. Over there, there's ball lightning. Over there, there's the Kraken and a sea serpent. It's just hundreds of different things you're spotting at once, like Pokemon Snap, where there's just like a million fucking Pokemon running by at the same time, even though an Ekans would be nowhere near a Rattata. That is just... That Rattata is dead. And maybe it's just a mosaic of phenomenon in one relatively short journey, 15 minutes, an hour long journey, and you're taking pictures of it in a big film-like experience. I don't know.
Could it be that you're trying to take photos to sell to some kind of like occult magazine, and your aim is to take the most spectacular photo, and so that the Pokemon Snap element is not throwing fruit at animals, but maybe throwing like coins and stuff to try and lure deckhands to get like hit by lightning so you can take an awesome picture of it.
Yes, I'm in.
James, you looked excited then. Like,
can we just set this light bulb in the Bermuda Triangle? So it could even be a modern thing. So you're traveling through and maybe you are there as a journalist trying to get evidence of the weird shit that's happening. Like it could just be, you just sail through and you're like, oh my God, that's happening. That's happening. Ah, I noticed the big ball lightning, get a good picture. That's going to get me $20 on this newspaper. I don't know. Bermuda Triangle, weird shit. What do we think?
Oh, that's a honking modern day photography, right?
Yeah, right. Sorry, just go on Twitter. Can we have permission to use your photo?
$20? No. For a light show. I really like what Matt said and James, but I think that's a much cooler idea. I don't know if you still want to stick with the on rails nature of it, like catching things at that time. I think that still will help differentiate from Oberdin a lot. I think obviously the fact that it's set on a ship sort of is what led us all to say Oberdin.
Well, yeah.
And then you said the words Oberdin at the start.
Well, that was a good lead in. Yeah.
Yeah. But obviously natural phenomena don't just exist at sea. They can happen in other places as well. So you could have different levels based on that.
Yeah. But it's called Mysteries of the Sea.
I thought it wasn't.
No, it's
locked
not,
in. But the name's locked in.
Yeah, but if we just went with every phenomenon, then it's just like it's just that encompasses so much.
This is called Mysteries.
Mysteries.
Well, I mean, like, I think obviously then it gives the player Frakes. A score at the name? End, which is always really good. And then obviously it adds to replayability of like I got the best picture. I got an A star picture of ball lightning hitting a guy.
Jonathan Frakes Tom's is the nuts. Fucking main guy in the
Jonathan
game.
Frakes.
And
Jonathan
he ends
Frakes.
Every level with, that's false. This didn't happen.
Nice.
This isn't true.
There was actually there was a sort of survival horror game on the PS2, I think, called Michigan about, I think Suda51 made it actually, and it was all about you were a cameraman on a news team during a sort of paranormal outbreak, and the whole kind of game was based around the balance of escaping and being safe yourself, but also wanting to film like terrible things happening to other people, and it was the kind of risk reward of like getting up close and personal with danger, or like not helping other
taking
people.
Taking time to light the scene correctly and put down fill lights and all of that stuff.
He was just running around with a camera like Blair Witch style. And it was like, do you put down the camera to help someone who's falling in a hole, or do you film them because it's going to be like great footage?
Oh my God.
That is a great idea. I love that.
Well, the game was terrible, but...
Oh. Oh no.
The problem that Pokemon Snap, problem with Pokemon Snap is how do you tell what a good photo is? So obviously they're like have the reticule pointed, you know, the subject middle of the frame, blah blah blah, boring rule of thirds, all that argument about Pokemon Snap. So do we do away with the whole scoring thing? Because I do like Tom's original idea of you're just going on a journey, you just want to take, maybe you just want to chill and take nice photos, but you put them into a situation where there's gonna be cool shit. And then could there be some sort of community rating for your pictures, or just like, oh, you put them on to post them up and you can look through what people have taken and try and find unusual angles or something?
Yeah, like possibly. I like the idea that even though like maybe you don't know what's in the game, you don't know what kind of nautical events there are. And so the idea of like some people happening upon like St. Elmo's fire perhaps is like super rare. And the idea of seeing it is like, is really exciting. And also being out in the ocean is like a few years ago, I went.
Oh my God. It's another miracle story.
It's no. It's not as good. It's not as big as the hat. It's not as big as the hat.
Oh, okay. This is going to be minuscule. But,
for my honeymoon, we went on a cruise in, near Norway.
Were you there?
And
it sounds like you weren't.
It was me and Chris. And, this was about like on our way back, basically we'd been hoping to see, the Northern Lights, and we'd seen nothing for like an entire week. And on our way back, it was about 12:30 at night. And we were in the middle of the ocean, nothing, like you couldn't see any lights on the horizon or anything. There was we were so far from land, it was just pitch black. And we went out onto the deck, and then all of a sudden the Northern Lights appeared, and it was the most surreal, experience I've like ever had in my life. Just being out in the middle of the ocean, just completely black, nothing. You couldn't see anything else. And these northern lights just were lighting up like the crest of the waves and a bit of the deck and stuff. And it was so peculiar. And I love the idea of recreating like those kind of moments, like just when you're surrounded by the ocean with just like this void of black and like seeing St. Elmo's fire would just be amazing, like in a game. Like and like maybe photographing it could be a...
you can hear that.
But it's like an orchestral version. Trying to capture that would be incredible. Like I think that's...
So we're basically pitching that scene, except there's now like a really annoying person taking hundreds of photos all this like screaming arcade multiplier.
He's also
stuff
dropping dropping coins all over the place hoping that you get struck by lightning.
You're like, oh man, to talk about buzzkill.
There's loads and loads and loads of different little Northern Lights could be one of them, sure. In terms of the picture scoring in Pokemon Snap, obviously it's the Pokemon has to be as big as it can be on the frame, even if the entire picture is its face or one eyeball. They're just like, wow, that is a great picture. And it's centered, that's perfect. And it's looking the right way, great. Maybe we do away with the scoring system and it's just you got what you consider to be a cool picture. It's in like this 1800 style drawing filter as well. Maybe, yeah. I don't know. And
what about different levels and different periods of history with different kind of camera tech to get your head around?
Yeah, one of them is super artifacting and
so you've got
low
draw
resolution.
It first, obviously.
One of them has to be there stand still for 20 minutes.
On a boat.
Also exposed. Just, no, don't move. Oh, you can't hear me. I'm a ghost detective. I'm still lost on where we are with that.
You have to keep the giant man-eating shark, the Giga Shark, to stay still for 10 seconds. Otherwise, the picture's
the
ruined.
The Meg.
I think it's cool. I think it could be fun. I think it's very similar to Oberdin. The moment you guys started attributing more and more stuff to it, it just made me think of Oberdin, but in a different style. Honestly, I don't hate it. There needs to be more games like that. I think it's time for someone to make an Oberdin ripoff that is just shit.
But it's better.
It will be garbage. It'll be a garbage ripoff.
But no, I think the difference is, so with Oberdin, you're going with like the pull of that is you're uncovering a mystery and like it's kind of some, you know, maybe like there's, you know, this weird stuff that happens in it and that's exciting and blah, blah, blah. But in this, it's just about experiencing these awesome moments and trying
and just,
to make that.
And just codexing it all and discovering what it all means. Maybe you're not, you know, putting together a mystery or whatever. You're just cataloging these things and you can, it's an educational game now where you look and you see in the ocean, wow, there's so many glittering lights in the ocean. What could that be? Is it the sun reflecting certain ways? No, it's Noctiluca scintillans. It's the sea sparkle, a minuscule bioluminescent life form that floats about in the oceans. And let me tell you, it's beautiful. And you've taken a picture of it and you've cataloged that for the rest of time. Maybe it's the convergence of the Baltic and the North Sea, which apparently looks very similar to when two Minecraft biomes are clapped right next to each other because they are just a line of just different colours.
It's the different salt levels within the water. It also happens at rivers where fresh water meets salt water. They don't mix well, so you get a harsh divide of the colours because of the salt levels in the water. There you go.
I feel like you're going to get some backlash here. This sounds like learning.
It sounds like learning. And you know what? It's one of those games where you're playing it and you think, wow, this is really cool. And then you go to your friends, you're like, wow, I played this game earlier and I learned about the Devil's Sea. And let me tell you about the Devil's Sea really quickly. And they're like, wow, that's some nerd-ass shit. And then you realize, like, fuck, this game made me learn something, and now I know stuff.
And then
about
one day you'll use it in a pub quiz.
I wanted the name of these phenomena. When you see them, they should flash up, like at the start of boss fights in Zelda.
Oh,
so
yes.
So it's like, in big letters, it's like, the convergence of the Baltic Sea.
And you're like,
oh, shit. Souls music and a health bar
characters in a Hideo Kojima game.
Yeah. with the name of their voice actor underneath.
Yeah. And then written by Hideo Kojima.
Look, I can't deny it. I'm a bit sad that we're not doing You're a Time Cop or Detective.
Maybe we don't need to go crazy with every idea, right? What if you just want to chill and enjoy some phenomena?
I never want to chill. I want extreme action at 100% of the time.
I think what we've got is a very nice little exploration game. Let's put that in the bag. Let's make that one. That's coming out soon. There it is. Mysteries of the Sea, an exploration education game written by Tom Hazel.
IGN, 10 out of 10. Phenomenal.
I hate that.
Wholesome.
Can you give us a rundown? If it has, I think it has changed, actually. It's been simplified. What is it now after the last 40 minutes?
After the last 40 minutes, it is a game where you might be a time cop going back into the lives of all of these people on the crew to take pictures of all these weird things that are happening in your little nautical expeditions in the Northwest Passage and beyond in the Bermuda Triangle. What's that over there? Man-eating shark. What's that over there? Lumina octilcillians or whatever the fuck that was. Is that a phantom island of Bermasia over there? It's gone. I wish I took a picture of it. I'm going to have to get it on the next run. It's non-rails, ship faring, Pokemon Snap, photo taking, phenomenon exploring, mystery solving, life-changing experience. 10 out of 10, phenomenal.
I don't think it needs mysteries. I don't want to be a time cop. I just want to be Alfred Potts deckhand.
You should reference the brain dance thing, but to make it more kind of appropriate for the nautical setting, you should call them brain jigs. At the start of every level, it says, "Are you ready to brain jig?"
Yeah.
I like that. What are you thinking, Chris? I feel like you have been the least interested in this idea out of us.
It wasn't the least interest. It was just that
your general personality.
Well, it's a little bit of my just general demeanor, but also I don't think the game or anyone knew what it was. So it has gone all over the place. But are you kidding me? Sold.
This is the most perfectly formatted pitch I ever had.
I've got to agree.
No, but I mean, yeah. Straight away we went in different, all like five different directions, and
we went into one different direction, and it was Obra Dinn, and it was away from what I was suggesting.
But yeah, I mean, the end result seems a lot more cohesive and fun.
It's simple. But that's good.
Yeah, and Alfred Potts was the mayor of Bolton from 1922 to 1923. That's the only one I could find. That's how you know it.
It's quite a short stint.
That was a short stint.
What happened to him?
What happened?
Well, you'll never guess.
He went to the Bermuda Triangle. He went on a boat. Obviously.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. Got destroyed in a cataclysm.
So level one is just the 2-year tenure as the mayor of Bolton. Yeah.
Gone on some diplomatic mission
across the sea. Triangle.
Yeah. Bolton in desperate need of diplomacy across the world.
So we're at E3, out comes Phil Spencer on the stage, and he says, "Listen, guys, finally, the game that is going to answer the question, whatever happened to Alfred Potts?" A sea of dead eyes and unimpressed faces.
His picture comes
it's
up.
Time for brain jig.
it's time for brain jig. That's what Keanu Reeves says. He comes out on stage. He says, it's time
"You're
for brain
phenomenal."
Jigs.
You're phenomenal.
No, you're brain jig.
What?
James, is this?
Oh, God.
Is this too relaxed for you? Do you want something more?
No,
can you deal
with
this?
This sounds nice. Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
Nice. As long as we can get, you know, it's going to look amazing, you know, all these cool things going off.
It has to look great.
I just want to be able to roam around the ship and I'll have a great time, you know, just go. Maybe it's like go for a sleep, wake up in an hour. Okay, what's next? What's the next phenomenon? Okay, got some nice dolphins. Take a picture. Yeah,
maybe
nice.
That's it. Like, perhaps the attention to detail is the important thing. Like, I played a little while ago. They released a scale, supposedly, or as detailed. I can't remember who it was. It was a company released a detailed recreation of the Titanic in VR, where you can wander around. It's an Unreal Engine. It looks phenomenal. And there aren't any people or anything. Everything is so perfectly detailed. And maybe that's what this game needs. Maybe the environments need to be...
But no people.
They need to be so perfectly detailed and it needs to look beautiful. That's the core of the experience, is that you're really deep diving into what it's like to wander around a ship in this particular time period. and experience these cool little phenomena. Matt, what are you thinking of this so far? Is this enough for you?
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of quite like chilled out taking pictures games. It's not really what I'm into. Like, I worry that I can already see the reviews that are like, beautiful world, I love the phenomenon, shame there's not more of a game to it. That's what I would write in Matt Edge Carlson. Magazine. I would give this a 4 in Edge.
let's just scrap the reviews real quick. It was released in early access. That's what the game was. Those are the reviews that came out. A mystery has been added to the game. You are trying to find out what led or what was the disaster of this ship, which was in the original pitch. So it does make it a little bit more Oberdin-y, but you are taking pictures of all these natural phenomena, finding out what, in culmination of all of these things, what do they lead to? You don't necessarily see the Megalodon, but you see all of these things are signs that the Megalodon is coming or something like that.
Yeah. I think that's what kids really like in entertainment, is like the promise that something amazing is going to happen and then they don't get to see it.
If you get the correct... We're not selling this to fucking children. Okay. Okay.
Hey, kids, if you get the correct answer... Do you like promise of a Megalodon?
he's doing to you, Tom, what Legal is going to do to the, MCU.
He's coming on. I can't wait. The MCU.
I don't know. I think you overrate how exciting people find rippling surf.
All right, this is clearly divided. The pitch, please. Crew.
This is one of those things where there's going to be a couple of reviews afterwards where everyone says, I would play the shit out of this game and everyone was wrong and Tom was right. I guarantee it.
I think it. This is written by Tom Hazel.
Written by Tom Hazel.
I think what's going to happen is this would be a low-selling, high-reviewing BAFTA-nominated indie darling that no one would buy, but it would get a bunch of awards.
That is not why I'm doing this.
That's what's good, yeah?
He's in it for the money.
Okay. I hate this idea. Right.
Well, so, look, bad luck.
If maybe, like Tom and I, you're more into the more chill experience and exploring, you know, wandering around the ship, exploring these phenomena, or maybe you're more like... maybe you're more like James and you want full on action.
I want to be RoboCop.
Or maybe you've got a different idea. Maybe you can just let us know. Maybe where can they let us know, Tom?
You can let us know at Pitch Please Pod. It's Pitch Please Pod without any vowels now on Twitter.
We've done it.
And you can also leave a comment in the YouTube video. We've made it worse. And also confusing for anyone listening to old episodes. We've already had a message about that. Maybe you can leave a comment on the YouTube channel about what you thought of the episode. Maybe you can leave us a review with 5 stars and tell us what you thought about it. Other stars are not accepted.
Yeah, don't rate the games that we're talking about. Rate the podcasts, please.
Rate the chat.
Rate the chat.
Thank you, Matthew, for joining us again.
Apologies for dunking on Tom's nice
idea.
That
was great. It's normally me.
Yeah, it was a hard dunk. I got dunked hard.
But also,
Alex, I guess fuck everyone else. Thanks, Matt, for joining. Whatever.
I haven't finished yet.
No.
Thank you, everyone. Tom, thank you for your wonderful idea.
Ah, get fucked.
It's too late. He's gone now. He's grumpy. Chris and James, thank you as always. And... Next time, maybe we'll have some, undoubtedly we'll probably have some kind of guest. We'll see who it's going to be. Please join us. And also remember, you can go back and listen to any of these episodes, right? You can go back and listen to any of these episodes that we've done. You don't have to, they're not related to one another.
What a weird call to action.
Are you confused that he was saying next time we'll have a guest whilst we're having a guest here? Because that's what I was confused about.
Matt,
not-
I don't think Matt, look, I don't think Matt counts as a
Matt's
guest.
Family.
Okay.
Yeah. Matt's like
Fast and Furious,
kind of like a stepbrother.
It's a special appearance by Matt Castle.
Yeah, I'm like exactly, the neighbour in Home Improvement. I look over the fence, shout a few dunks, and then shout a few dunks, get a few claps, and then leave.
I think that's a reference that our listeners are really going
to
get.
All right, yeah. If you want to go and listen to our other ones, maybe you can go and listen to some of Tom's other ideas, right? Some bangers, probably from earlier on before you ran out of steam.
Fuck me.
Okay. Thank you everyone for listening, and we'll see you next time. Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye now. Bye now.
Bye.
Goodbye. Bye. Bye. Good now. Bye, bye now. Bye. Bye. Bye.
That's Ghostbusters.
St. Elmo's Fire.